And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
Last week, one night, I watched again a classic old movie from the 1960s, 1968 actually, won a lot of awards, The Shoes of the Fisherman, starring Anthony Quinn. He is a Roman Catholic priest who has spent over 20 years in a Siberian work camp in Russia. When suddenly he is called from the quarry pit to Moscow by the Soviet Union premier, who during the height of the Cold War was facing a nuclear nightmare, the Soviet Union with China. And the premier thinks that this priest, with his Russian background, might perhaps be helpful in some way. So he releases him. And immediately he is whisked off to Rome, where the aging Pope anoints him as a cardinal. And shortly thereafter, when the old Pope dies, the young Kirill is elected Pope. This former Russian political prisoner now transforms the ancient office and the ancient church, serving as a secret mediator, bringing together the heads of China and Russia, and thus preventing a nuclear war, and in the process himself promising to sell off Vatican assets to feed the poor of the world. Well, of course, something like that happened in real life, didn't it? When a priest from Poland, still controlled by the Soviet Union at the time, was elected Pope, Pope John Paul II, in 1978. He became a true servant leader, the head of the world's largest Christian church. Though imperfect, he modeled what it means to really follow Jesus. And this is what Jesus is calling all of us to do today, to take up our cross and follow him, to sit at his feet, to learn his teachings, to follow them, to obey Jesus as Lord, no matter what. Maybe you think the Presbyterian Church USA Book of Order is about as exciting as reading the phone book. Well, listen to this, a couple opening paragraphs that describe the mission of the church. When somebody asks you this afternoon, what did he talk about, you can tell him he read the Book of Order to us. Almighty God, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him above all rule and authority, has given to him all power in heaven and on earth, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. God has put all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ and has made Christ head of the church, which is his body. The church's life and mission are a joyful participation in Christ's ongoing life and work. Christ calls the church into being, giving it all that is necessary for its mission in the world, for its sanctification, and for its service to God. Christ is present with the church in both spirit and word. Christ alone rules and calls and teaches and uses the church as he will. In affirming with the earliest Christians that Jesus is Lord, the church confesses that he is its hope, and that the church as Christ's body is bound to his authority and thus free to live in the lively, joyous reality of the grace of God. And then this: the church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. We see in Matthew chapter 10 a call to costly discipleship. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it look like after he has gone from earth into heaven? He tells them what to expect. There will come hard times. There will come persecutions. They may be hated for following Jesus. Divisions in the family may come when some in the family ridicule the ultimate authority of Jesus. We are commanded to follow him, to sit under and to obey a crucified and risen Lord. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. In other words, it is enough to be like Jesus. Many times in the Gospels, we hear the call not to be afraid. This is the first time in the Gospel of Matthew that the word cross is mentioned. Of course, it builds hugely later in the book. Whoever will not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And yet, through all that, he tells his disciples, do not fear. Something we hear repeatedly in all the Gospels. At his birth, the angel appeared unto the shepherds, do not fear. At his resurrection, the angel at the empty tomb telling the women, do not fear. Meanwhile, the guards that have been sent by the temple bosses are petrified like dead people. Three times in this rapid-fire teaching in this chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, do not fear. First, do not fear because there is nothing that is covered which will not be uncovered. Second, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Third, do not fear, for you are of more value than sparrows. And nothing will happen to you where God your Father is not present and sustaining you. He will be with you even as you fall. Well, let's look a little more closely at these three calls to have no fear. First, in telling us that it is enough to be like Jesus, our teacher and master says, do not fear because there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Have no fear of them, the outside world, be that the government, the mortgage lender, the horrible medical diagnosis of cancer or heart disease, that difficult special person in your life, that surly boss. Have no fear, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Darkness throughout Scripture represents chaos and evil. Darkness, though, is cast out by light. So shine the light on Jesus. Proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. Come in Jesus. So run to the housetops and shout it for all to hear. As we sang earlier, when morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, my Jesus Christ be praised. Eric Linklater was a Scottish soldier in the First World War. He describes in his autobiography how his worn, wounded battalion of Scottish foot soldiers marched back in retreat disastrously across France. He said, we were a tattered crew from the coal mines of Fife and the back streets of Dundee, but we trod quick-stepping to the brawling tune of Highland Laddie. And suddenly I was crying with a fool's delight and the sheer gladness of being in such a company. It is one of life's great thrills to have the sense of belonging to a goodly company and a goodly fellowship. And such a fellowship is South Highland, a goodly company, a goodly fellowship, full of light within this room today, full of light without, a steeple that points heavenward with a cross at the top, shining with that silent witness, all who passed by, of what is our hope. Now, this does not mean that we'll not have struggles and disagreements as individuals and as a congregation. It does mean that when we keep the main thing, Jesus Christ as our Lord, Jesus Christ as our strong, clear center, Jesus Christ and his cross central in our lives, even as the cross is central in these beautiful rose windows, and from the cross springs out colors going in all directions. Then, when this is the case, we will truly hold to our faith, for we will be held by him, by Christ who died, by Christ who rose from death. As Paul wrote, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And so you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Friends, always trust the light. Do not allow what is the truth to be kept secret. Do not segment your faith life from the rest of your life. What you lift up here, what you learn here, what you profess here, what you pray about here for an hour on Sunday must radiate forth throughout your whole life, the other 167 hours in your week. Because it is enough to be like Jesus. So do not fear, for nothing hidden is hidden that will not be revealed. Second, in telling us it is enough to be like Jesus, our teacher and master goes on to say, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. The early Christians, even as Christians today in some parts of the world, suffered terrible persecution. When the early believers first declared Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not, they experienced opposition and oppression. Some were tortured, some were killed, some were stripped of their wealth and privileges. In China today, to be a professing Christian puts you outside the ranks of the party, outside the possibility of getting a good job, rising in the military or the professions. To be aligned with the cross of Christ was then and is today in some places to be cast out from citizenship in the empire. In Jesus' day, in fact, the cross as a means of execution was not practiced on Roman citizens. It was too shameful. It was only practiced on outcasts and outsiders like Jesus. An early bishop by the name of Polycarp, the bishop of the church in Smyrna, city in Asia Minor, current day Izmir in Turkey, in 160 AD was burned at the stake for refusing to announce his faith in Jesus as his Lord. Given a final opportunity, tied to the stake before the flames were lit, to renounce Jesus, he declared these memorable words, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And they said of John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, plain spoken, the man who studied under Calvin, brought Calvin's teachings to Scotland and eventually made its way to this place. They said of Knox as he was being buried, here lies one who feared God so much he never feared the face of any man. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and martyr, as he was summoned from his cell by the Nazis near the very end of World War II, a few more days and the camp was liberated, he said on his way to the hangman's noose these last words, this is the end, for me, the beginning of life. In his most famous book, The Cost of Discipleship, if you haven't read it, I'd really encourage you to a great beach read this summer. Bonhoeffer tells us, Jesus asks nothing of us without giving us the strength to perform it. His command never seeks to destroy life, but to foster, strengthen, and heal it. And Bonhoeffer goes on to call us to follow in the way of costly obedience. The road to faith passes through obedience, he writes, to the call of Jesus. Unless a definite step is demanded, the call vanishes into thin air. And if people imagine that they can follow Jesus without taking this step, they are deluding themselves. Only the obedient believe, and only those who believe are obedient. My friends, it is indeed enough to follow Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who will present us before his Father and who alone can preserve our souls. And then third, in telling us it is enough to be like Jesus, he is using an analogy from lesser to greater. Sparrows. Sparrows are cared for by the Heavenly Father. Jesus showed the care and compassion of his Father by this comparison of the lowly sparrows, like the ones you hear sometimes in the bushes out behind the rose window on Highland Avenue in our yard. These sparrows were considered virtually worthless You could buy two of them for a penny in Jesus' day. And yet Jesus says our Father cares for them so much that they will not fall to the ground apart from Him. And if that is true of sparrows, how much more is it true of us? Our Father will not leave us or turn His back on us. We will be kept safe for all eternity. Troubles will come. Life is sometimes hard as crucible steel. It has its bleak and painful moments, yet God walks with us. Yesterday, I attended by online attendance the resurrection service of one of my great teachers and mentors, Dr. Earl Palmer, who was for many years the pastor of the University Presbyterian Church in Seattle, Washington, author of over 20 books, one of which he gave me when he was here in Birmingham at a service he preached for. I had the opportunity to participate in the liturgy that day. Earl Palmer opened me to the works of C.S. Lewis and Dostoevsky and Tolkien and Barthes and others. He particularly loved to teach the children's stories, the Chronicles of Narnia. One year we took our entire staff from South Highland out to University Presbyterian for 4 days to study with them, to sit under Earl, to experience their worship services. He could really turn a phrase like these. He said, in this book, Trusting God, Christian Faith in a World of Uncertainty, I know a house that took me in to send me out. And it is about Jesus Christ and His grace and trustworthiness, not our journey of faith. We are kites with cords anchored to Jesus. Earl knew and taught me and many, many others, it is enough to be like Jesus. Since we know for sure certain that God is with us, therefore we should not fear. We should not fear as individual Christians. We should not fear as a congregation. I've been rereading our wonderful Heritage of Witness, the history of this church that was compiled, the first part of it, for the church's 100th anniversary, and then was updated a little later for its 125th anniversary 10 years ago. And this fall, we'll celebrate our 135th anniversary. And in that history, I came across this wonderful description of beloved pastor Dr. Frank Alexander as he began his pastorate here in those days that were kind of rough waters. This plaque over here recognizes Frank and Grayson. Listen, Frank, his lovely wife Grayson, and their family soon made a place for themselves in our hearts. Frank says that he felt a deep call to come to this church. He recognized the problems, the loss of the ultra-conservatives in the church to the PCA denomination, and the fragmenting of community. But he also recognized the great opportunity to serve this congregation and to reach out to the entire Southside area, including the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He thought that our greatest need as a church was to be pulled together as one congregation, united in the love of Christ. And friends, that is still our greatest need and work in progress as we are continually striving. Because you see, it really is enough to be like Jesus. As we seek to follow Him, carrying our cross, entering into His suffering, may we enter into His triumph. May we strive earnestly to follow in the way of discipleship. May we be filled with joy and hope and peace. May we conquer with His love. May we lift high His cross. May we be like Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.